Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, February 24th, 2016 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atayer-Taylor, who's the executive secretary at the controls for the hearing today. I'd like to begin with a few basic items, general information, in terms of the presentations. The applicant and or the owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting of a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. And the applicant and or owner will be allowed up to 3 minutes for rebuttal if there's any public testimony in opposition. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and make a decision today or take the matter under advisement, or may continue the item to a later date. There are three items that are on the consent calendar today. These are items that are generally considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of the three items, please step forward when the items are called. Otherwise, those three items would be granted as proposed. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for any items that are not on the agenda today. Now, criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C, five findings are established that must be met by the zoning administrator in order to justify granting the variance. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months for a decision letter to be completed following the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to have a copy of that decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important because it's the issuance of the decision letter itself that carries with it the appeal to the Board of Appeals. And these letters can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the letter. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss projects, we ask that that be done outside of the room to avoid disturbing others. Audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. Now we can move on. I think we have one housekeeping item.
We have one item that is for continuance. This will be to be continued to an undetermined date at the regularly scheduled weekly planning commission hearing at City Hall. This is item number one, case number 2015-001214-VAR, 3636 21st Street, rear yard variance sought.
And this is essentially an indefinite continuance. There was a discretionary review filed on the application, and we will have a joint hearing with the variance and the discretionary review. But we don't yet have a date for that hearing. Most likely, given the current commission calendars, it could be in June.
Yes.
Is there any public comment on this indefinite continuance? Seeing none, we continue this to the call.
We have three items in our consent calendar. Item number two, case number 2015-018080-VAR, 938 Ellsworth Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number three, case number 2015-013010-VAR, 1528 15th Street, open space variance sought. And item number four, case number 2014.1473V, 311 Grove Street, rear yard modification, permitted obstruction, and active use variances sought.
Is there any public comment on either of these three items? We have item two for 938 Ellsworth Street, item number three for 1528 15th Street, and item number four for 311 Grove Street.
Hi, Jim Warshaw, Hayes Valley Neighborhood Association. We applaud the building on the empty parcel of 311 Grove Street. Most of the building appears quite reasonable. The variances being requested, in particular regarding the access to Ivy Street, 444 Ivy presents a alternative whereby they can have the apartment variance accomplished if that were really the goal. I don't have terribly strong feelings that that's really absolutely necessary, but again, just as a point of information, a very new similar building at 444 Ivy was accomplished where they inset the garage opening slightly and have the entrance to the street-level apartment to the right of the garage inset. So just as a point, had they come to HVNA for review, which they did not, we would have been able to discuss this with them. But in the absence of that, clearly it's still a good project, and we support it enthusiastically. We would have loved it even more had they opted not to do parking, but they're within their 0.5, so that's moot. The only other issue that we would have brought up regarding this, there's a very active Living Alley campaign going on this block as well as others near it. And we didn't see anything in terms of the street treatment, either, street tree or other engagement into the alley to at least begin the dialogue on how to bring this block into the Living Alley program. So the only question would really be is, again, this is one small single lot building, but was there any attempt or is there any way that they can facilitate the humanization of the alley for a Living Alley beyond the planter against the building? Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for raising those points. And actually, one change in the project, which I had learned of this week from staff, is that they have modified the entry and actually no longer need the active use variant, so they do have the direct connection from the unit.
Terrific.
So that is one change in the project, making it less intense and seeking less of a modification.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
I don't know if the project sponsor wants to speak at all to those points, or I know this is a consent item still, but you would have up to 5 minutes, and we'll go a little bit out of order, but
thank you. No problem. I appreciate that, and thank you, Jenna, for your comment. We did actually, I personally met with Marianne Zadfar, who heads up the Living Alley campaign. Met with her about a year ago, and we're just trying to stay in the planning process and figure out the actual design of the project, which really didn't get solidified until a few weeks ago. So I look forward to that continued collaboration with Marianne and yourself, and we have definitely shared our street improvement plans from a while back with her, and do expect that that would be further developed, and we will plan to work with Marianne and her group to really get excited about the Living Alley project.
Great.
And making it beneficial to the community, which we currently enjoy because we live on Linden. Our office is on Linden, just down the street as well. So
great.
Very much experienced part of that project, too.
While you're up here, could you just confirm that the staff had informed me that the active use variance is no longer being sought because
that is correct from Carly, yeah.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other comments on this project? We're on the last item on the consent, on item number 4 for 311 Grove, while we're at it. So seeing none, we will take action on all three items, closing the public hearings and granting the requested variances, noting that for item number 4, 311 Grove, the variance request for active use is no longer being sought as the project has been revised, and we can move on to our regular calendar.
Item number 5, case number 2015-004771VAR, 2643 to 2645 Folsom Street, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Good morning, everyone who's here. And thank you for everyone to be here, and also my neighbors who are attending the hearing. So first of all, I just want to briefly recap the project scope. Our goal is to build a third unit cottage in a RH3 zoned lot. The proposal is to demolish an existing structure in the backyard and replace with a two-story cottage. And here is a project site, 360-degree view. Ms. Sanchez, do you have the copy? Otherwise, I have the copy.
It's always great to have an extra. But did you say three-story or two-story?
I'm sorry. Here's the... So as you can see, the surrounding neighborhood is a typical residential neighborhood in the Mission. And what you are seeing in the top is a current existing structure. And the bottom is to the left. And then I also have the view of the opposite. That's our two-unit building. And also to the right is our neighbors and also a four-story apartment building. So why are we proposing to have the third unit in the rear yard? It's because right now we already have an existing structure and there's an existing pattern of rear yard structure in the surrounding lots. And to do this, we can also preserve the front two-unit building, which is a historical structure built in 1875. And currently, the current backyard structure has a history of being used as the dwelling unit. I've just submitted an affidavit of the tenant who has been residing in the unit until 2002, and he said to his best knowledge, more people have been residing in the unit. And currently, our unit has a deferred maintenance from previous owners, which, of course, we are aware when we bought the place. So right now, we have a leaking roof. We have broken windows. We couldn't even keep our baby strollers in the yard because of the mold will, the storage, because the mold will grow. So in conclusion, we think that this project will replace an existing and ugly structure with a new and good-looking residential unit. It will add value to existing and surrounding properties values. It will rehab the current structure and restores it to its former use. It will also utilize a buildable lot. And also it will add another housing unit to a city that's suffering from housing crisis. So I will take time to briefly touch on the neighborhood outreach effort we have done. We've done two public outreach meetings. The first meeting, we actually invited all the neighbors to our home because we thought this will give them a good chance to check out the site and also where we are building the structure. But unfortunately, only one set of neighbors showed up. From this meeting, we learned they are concerned with the privacy and also by looking at the wall of the new build because they have a lot of gatherings in the yard. So later on, we approached them. We said we can designate that entire wall to them so they can paint a mural on it. And Luis, who the neighbor, he was happy about the proposal. He said that's actually what he's done in his part of his activities. We also committed not to add any windows to the side, so there's absolute privacy from their yard. And we also proposed to add special window coverings, so activities wouldn't be visible through windows. And then we also arranged meetings with our neighbors who didn't attend the hearing. We talked with Jules, we talked with Don, we talked to Emily. So the takeaways we got from this neighborhood outreach was we have one support, which we submitted letter of support. We have two neutral, and we have two opposition. So that's what we saw it from the last hearing. But then, of course, at the hearing, we learned that we have a strong opposition of the project, which is probably seeing it lightly. So after the hearing, we met with them, and we organized another meeting in the coffee shop, just try to understand the concerns. My time is up. So I guess they can touch on their concerns, but in summary, it's just privacy and not like to have the structure in the yard. don't want to see the activities, and they are afraid of the values of their property. Okay. And
thank you. At the last hearing, one of the issues that came up was, one question about the previous use of the structure, whether or not it was actually used as an illegal dwelling or not. And I understand you have an affidavit from the previous tenant, but one of the other questions was the proposed use. And so I think there was some confusion or dispute about whether or not you would be renting it to
Correct.
The public or even
so,
having it
So, yeah,
friends
I was going
and family.
To print a letter from me to my architect, which I can actually supply after the hearing. I said in the letter, originally we wanted a three-story building, three-story. We thought it would be we would be building a dream home for our family. But we learned later that it's not probably not possible because of the scale, so we reduced it to two-story. But in the design meeting brainstorm, I told Troy, our architect, our intention is to leave it for as long as we can because we have two kids and we might still have our family will still be growing. But then it will be a place that in the future we want to retire into, so really we are building our retirement home.
So do you live in the front building currently?
Correct.
In one of the two units? And the other unit is occupied in the front building?
Yes, our parents are here.
Okay.
My mom is here too, yeah.
Okay. So your parents live there full-time? That's their
yes.
residence? And you live in the other unit full-time?
I do.
Okay. What's the proposed use? Will you not live in the front unit when you build the rear unit, or?
So we're an Asian family. So right now my mom lives with us, and Jean's parents, my husband's parents, are in their late 70s. So basically, their plan of retirement is to live with us. So we are trying to basically figure out the setup. But in anticipation in the next, I don't know the timing, but the intention is they would, when time is right, they would come and live with us
okay.
as well.
And then in terms of the units, are any of the units in that existing units rented on any short-term rental platforms? Or?
Yes, we do short-term rental at the moment just because it's a rent-controlled property. We don't know our family right now, who's going to be living in which, whether my dad will come, or because right now only my mom's here. And then we don't know whether Jean's parents will be coming here. And then I don't know, they're not very good at climbing. So we don't know. Maybe we will be living in the upstairs unit, and then his parents might live downstairs, and then do we have the additional unit? So we don't know. So we are keeping it as a short-term rental before committing to a long-term lease. Because once we commit, we cannot get the unit back.
So that's one of the two units at the front.
Correct.
And is that being full-time short-term rental?
So I'm keeping it. Sometimes the parents will come, will stay, and when they're not here, we will rent it short-term.
How often do
on Airbnb.
How often do you think that is? Like in
we
year?
Have about 4 or 5 guests a month.
And they usually stay 4 to 5 days?
Yeah, depends on. Yeah, sometimes each guest will be 3 days. Some of them will stay longer if they're here for the business trip, maybe 5 days. Or it could be tourists. It depends.
Have you registered with the city for a short-term rental?
We have not.
Okay. I really appreciate your honesty. Other item, part of the argument for the project that you're making is that there can be no, you can't reasonably accommodate the third unit in the front building. And the plans just have the proposed structure at the rear, no floor plans of the building at the front. Do you have as-builts of the front building? Just any plans of the front building?
We don't at this time, but if you'd like us to provide
so
it,
the pro- are you looking for the floor plan?
Yeah, floor plans.
I submitted to Jonathan.
Of the front building. Because I don't think we have front floor plans of the building that you live in currently.
I already submitted.
They were submitted? Or
Yeah, it was requested by email and supplied.
Okay.
I think what was submitted was the
appraisal?
The appraisal records that has like the outline the, of when the building.
Okay, but and do you know if the permit history, if there are any kind of recent permits associated with the front building that would have plans? I mean, I don't necessarily.
Oh, you mean plans? Sorry, I didn't. I saw the floor plan of the sketch.
That's good. I mean, I think part of it would be to help that argument. But I mean, there's a lot of new information here, and that's why we had the hearing. So it's something that we may ask for additional information. But I do appreciate your candor and your honesty in responding to all of those questions. So. Thank you. And we can move on to public comment. Is there any public comment on this item? So can step forward and may help move things along if you even line up on the side. So any members of the public will be given 3 minutes each to speak, and we can move on. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Justice. I'm a neighbor that lives at 940 Treat, directly behind this to one side. And I've been there about 21 years. I've seen a lot of neighbors come and go over the years. And, this is going to be an eyesore in my backyard forever. It's never going to leave once they, if they are allowed to build it, because it's right at my property line, at my fence line, part of my fence line. My grandchildren play in this backyard during the summer. They play basketball. They have scooters. They range in age from 16 to 4. There's five of them total. Sometimes they're playing on little plastic wheeled vehicles that make a lot of noise. Sometimes they're not all that good with the basketball. They bounce it off the fence, which would now be a building. So if we had a tenant back there that worked out of house, say, out of home, it would be annoying to them to have the ball bounce off their living quarter, or to have loud noise going on all day long when they're trying to work. And so this wouldn't be good for our neighbor relationship. In my opinion, there's no reason to go forward with this project because all the neighbors that border it, property owners, are against it, all five property owners of the four properties. One, it removes our cushion of airspace and views between us because we have large yards between us that protect us from noise and view. It supplies no new parking. The residential buildings at the back of the lots have been probably outlawed because they required a variance to get them. At one point in time, on this block, there were seven of these little buildings in the back in 1885. And if you go to the 1899 map, five of them are gone. So I don't know if they burnt, they dilapidated and fell, but in a 14-year period, they've disappeared, 15-year period. So it also makes it hard for emergency services to attend a person that's down, let's say. The fire department wouldn't know where they're at because they come up to the front of the building. There's two addresses. The third address isn't there. So, they don't know they're supposed to go through the carriage entrance on the side maybe to get to them. So the fire, police, and paramedics have a hard time finding you. This one unit isn't going to help San Francisco's housing shortage. There's a plan for a 100-unit development two doors down the street to the south of them on the same block, where it's 100-plus units going to be developed. So one unit isn't going to make a whole lot of difference in the housing shortage in San Francisco. And I'm sure when these people bought this property less than 2 years ago, they knew that it was, zoned R3, two units, and they knew the shed was not a living structure. So on that, I don't think this thing should go forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You also get 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hello. I live literally right next door, 2637, 2639 Folsom Street. We've been there for about 20 years. It's a family home. My mom lives upstairs, and I live downstairs. I have an 11-year-old daughter that plays outside, enjoys dancing, singing really loud. I just feel having a unit back there, I don't know if she's really going to have her family there or not, but I know there's random people that go upstairs, and I don't know what she has there, like Airbnb. I have no idea. So my concern is I don't know who's going to live back there. I have a daughter. It's a family home. I have my nephews that come over on the weekends. I do enjoy my backyard with friends and family. Like last night, I stayed up in my backyard till 11 o'clock at night, enjoyed the whole night with my friends. I am pretty loud. I have loud friends. And I don't want someone to come out or be bothered or end up as having like this hate relationship with our neighbors. I don't want that at all. I welcomed them when they first moved in. I invited them over to the house. I'm sorry, but she did mention that she owned a property in the Castro. I don't know if that's correct or not. So that's maybe something that you guys can look into. But those are my concerns. I don't have a lot of lighting that comes into my house. I live downstairs. There's a big tree in her backyard. So building another two-story in the backyard, what kind of lighting am I going to have or sun coming facing towards my backyard? Those are a lot of my concerns. So I hope you guys would think about it. Thanks.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. My name is Todd Brown, and I'm the founding director of a cultural space called the Red Poppy Art House. It's on the very same block as the unit. It's at 2698 Folsom. And I just wanted to share kind of maybe a unique lens on it and concerns that I have that have to do with the culture and the social fabric of this part of the Mission District. In particular, speaking on behalf of Luis Vasquez Gomez and Maria Claudia, who are two of the property owners adjacent to the proposed building. And I founded the Red Poppy Art House in 2003. It was at that time that they also had bought the building that they are in. And since that time, they've been a very central, you might say, informal cultural center in the neighborhood. They run something called Casa Colombiana and Casa de los Sentidos that has regular activities with Casa Colombiana. They have Colombian breakfasts that they do. They kind of serve as really kind of a center pillar for that community locally, and then participate in a neighborhood festival called The MAP, the Mission Arts Performance Project, which happens on the first Saturday every other month and has been going on for the last 13 years. And they participate almost every single cycle in that festival, which is a very unique festival in the neighborhood where people open their garages, backyards, living rooms, and have artistic presentations, everything from poetry to music to dance to visual art. Luis is one of the founding members of that project. And these are non-formalized projects. They're not. They don't have like a formal building, you know, as an organization. But yet they're critical, I believe, to the fabric of the community. And specifically, the location is within the 24th Street Cultural Corridor, what's now sort of the Latino Cultural Corridor of 24, Calle 24. Which is very specific because what they have done across those years has presented literally hundreds of artists, many of which are presenting Latin forms, Latin traditions. And the backyard that Luis and Maria Claudia use is a central stage and space for everything from traditional ceremonies to gatherings around food and music, specifically relating either to the Casa Colombiana they have or to the other events that they do. So having a buildup of a unit next door, oftentimes we've seen the pattern, new people move in, they complain about the noise, and really you have a displacement of culture and rich vital practices that really make our communities special. So, thank you.
Thank you.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Luis Vasquez Gomez, and I live in 2649 Folsom, which is adjacent to the place that's going to be built. There is three main reasons that I am totally opposed to this building. One of them is that we're going to be like right there. Our deck that looks toward the yard is going to be right there in front of them. So the privacy in the place is going to be gone. So that's one of the main concerns. And the other thing is that that's a beautiful yard that we use a lot all the time. So by having a building next door, I think it's going to be a big issue, because I think it's the dwelling is going to be taking center place within the activities. So whenever we make noise or make activities, they're going to be start complaining. I'm telling you something, that we are part of the MAP, which is Mission Our Performance Project. We've been doing it for the last 13 years. It's a community event, cultural event that happens every other month. And one of the activities, most of the activities happen in the backyard and our garage. So that would be totally displaced in a way, because I feel like usually dwellings or place where people live, they usually take center place. So whatever activities they've been doing, all the people, they're going to be shunned away. So that's my feeling, and that's what I've seen in the neighborhood lately, where people move in to places where they know the next door is neighbor is noisy, and they start complaining, and it's very cultural. We make noise. So the other thing is that they're going to build 117 units next door to the south side of our house. So that means that we're going to be just sandwiched in between two buildings, which is not fair for us, because since, starting again, we use our yard a lot. The other place is I do shamanism and do ceremonies in the backyard. So we usually have drumming and people that come and sing and make fires. And that's the way how we pray. And by building this place next door, it's going to be in total conflict to our activities. So I think it's not fair within, you know, where we want to live, and also because of those cultural activities we've been doing. The other thing is that I feel like this place, they've been using it already for Airbnb, so I don't believe that it's going to be built for housing. So, and also they already had two build. I mean, it's a building for two units. They, you know, they could live in the top and the other in the bottom. And the other thing is that I believe that yards are for the enjoyment of people. You know, everything is more concrete around us. And actually, there is a study that just came out from National Geographic that it talks about the importance of green space for people. So with that, I just want to be sure that whenever you make a decision, you take in consideration our the opposition of the four neighbors, at least, that are adjacent to it. And also, there is a letter writing campaign for the by the people of the community.
Your time is up. Thank you. Okay.
You have 3 minutes also.
I have something to read on behalf of my upstairs neighbor.
Okay.
My name is Lauren Tabak. I own the property at 944 Treat, which abuts 2643 Folsom on the east side. I was unable to attend the meeting that was held over the holiday weekend at Sugarlump. A neighbor told me about it. I was never contacted directly. Currently, when I look out the large window at the back of my flat towards 2643 Folsom, I see a mature fig tree and bottle brush tree in our yard. And then what appears to be a large pine tree at 2643 Folsom that obscures the house itself, and beyond that, Twin Peaks. This is a very nice view. According to the arborist report that my downstairs neighbor submitted at the last hearing, building the proposed structure on the property line will surely kill our mature and irreplaceable fruit tree, thus devaluing our property and general quality of life. I'm assuming the large pine tree at 2643 Folsom will also be destroyed in this process, which will mean that I will have a direct line of sight into the home at the front of the property and vice versa. This feels like an unnecessary invasion of privacy. Lastly, I'm self-employed and work from home as an AV editor, and I believe construction is going to be more than just a nuisance. It will likely require me to rent office space elsewhere, thus requiring a new financial burden. Please reject this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys need a copy?
We love paper. Any other members of the public to speak on this item?
Hi, my name is Colin O'Leary. I am a musician in San Francisco, and I want to speak on behalf of rejecting this project. I have played a lot of music as part of the Mission Arts Project in the mission that's MAP And with more density comes more complaints around the mission, around sound and music and artists doing the thing that we've been doing for a very long time. For example, there's been complaints at Balançoire about Latin music getting played at Balançoire. That came from Vida, the building that was built across the street, ironically called Vida. So I'm here on behalf of my band and a lot of other musicians that would probably receive a lot of complaints for if more density happens around the mission, more complaints happen as well. And these are things that we've been doing for a very long time. And so with the development, the fear is that there would be more complaints with new people coming into the city, not knowing how things are happening. It's shown that that's what's good. That's what's going on. And so with this project, the assumption is that there would just be nothing but complaints about things that we would otherwise, you know, we don't feel like we need to change what we're up to. So I just wanted to voice that concern. Thanks.
Thank you.
You get 3 minutes to.
Good morning. My name is Denis Doniz. I have been participating, organizing events in this house, the MAP. I feel that making more buildings is taking nature away, trees, the light, the sun. We will not receive the sun. I feel that it is not really true that they are building this for their family. They already have to build two properties, two units in there, which it would be perfect for families to live in. I think it will be detrimental to the neighborhood. I think it will be detrimental to what we do as a culture that slowly are being killed by this huge building. It's a huge building that is going to be built next door. So we are going to be caged in, no sun, and they are taking trees. I live where they... In a house where it's been a year where they are been doing construction. Every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, the construction starts. Every single day of the week, Saturdays, Sundays, it's impossible. It's really feel like they are going to drive you crazy. If it was a necessity, something important, I will agree with it. But I think it's totally unnecessary. But the most important is that they will kill part of something that is going on for 13 years. I really totally opposed to this. I don't see any reason for it. And right now they are renting. They have two units and they are renting. So what is the need for another units? I feel that it is just detrimental for our community that is changing a lot as the years pass by. I feel it's necessary, and I think it is horrible. It's horrible that the city is just being concrete, and it is taking our lives, it's taking our cultures. Mainly, it's taking our cultures. I really oppose to this. I hope that you take it in consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. In regards to your comment about the construction, I believe that the Department of Building Inspection regulates construction hours between, I think, 7 a.m. and 8 p.m., seven. So if you do hear construction starting before 7 a.m. in the morning, I would encourage you to contact the Department of Building Inspection to make a complaint.
Could you imagine what it is to live in a place where you live and you work from home and you have from 7 a.m. Six or seven, 12 hours is insane.
I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that if they are starting before at least 7, that you can contact the city, and that would be a violation. So just so you're aware of that.
But just insane. They are throwing trees unnecessarily.
No more public comment,
trees.
But just wanted to make sure you had that information.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm here as the architect representing Vicky. Just to respond to a few points, I'll go through them quickly. The fire department, this will be a fully sprinkled building. Fire department has an easy throughway back to the property. They're well equipped to fight fires in the rear buildings. In terms of privacy, Vicky proposed to erect higher fences. Up to 10 feet, I think is what's allowed under the planning code. With a variance, you could easily approve a higher fence if that mitigates some concerns on the behalf, on the part of neighbors. This proposal doesn't restrict the use of the neighbors to do what they want in the rear yard. They have, you know, there's regulations about sound and noise and hours. Vicky has not complained about any of their events, and nor do I think she intends to regarding the neighbors' use of the property. So I think there's a little bit of fear on behalf of the neighbors regarding changes in the community. There's discussion of new people moving in. I'm not sure the profile of these people and what the fear is exactly, but I think part of it's just a fear of change. In terms of...
Please be quiet and let him speak. Everyone has their opportunity to speak, please.
In terms of the arborist report, we will submit an arborist report from Roy Leggett, who's a respected arborist in the city, discussing changes or how the construction might affect a tree on a neighboring property and indeed a tree on this property. And just a preliminary discussion with him, he does not believe that it will have any effect on those trees. So,
yeah, I just want to add that even though we are new to the mission, but we love mission. I think any city is going to have people who live there for years and years and ages, and there are people who are younger. I'm an immigrant. I mean, I love mission, and we just refinanced our house to a 30-year fixed loan, and we are committed to the mission and to stay. Me and my husband, we are actually on the volunteering list for the Red Poppy House, and we support culture and art, and we never complained about the map. Even though I was pregnant when they were doing the map, or even when I moved into the property, my baby was only 5 months old, they were doing the map until 3 a.m., I did not complain even once. So I'm in full support of the neighborhood and the culture activities, and I will continue to do so.
Thank you. And just one question, is this the only property that you own?
This is the only property that I own with my husband.
Do you
correct.
Own other properties?
And my husband owns a property before our marriage.
Okay. But there's no property in the Castro, or there was something mentioned?
The property that my husband owns before the marriage is at Castro.
And he's
when we married, we bought the property together and moved in.
But he still owns the one in the
correct.
Castro. Okay. Is that a residential property? Or?
It's a condo.
It's a condo. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, a residential condo. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. You've been very honest. So with that, the public hearing is closed. At the previous hearing, I had mentioned that the findings could be met for justifying a variance of some extent. I still believe that, but just really not at this time. I mean, I think that the concern here for me to justify granting a variance, you have to meet all five findings. I think that certainly, given the pattern of other dwellings that are in the mid-block open space and certainly building out a third unit, I think that the latter half of the findings could be met, probably 3 through 5, but the first two are, I think, lacking in this case. You know, the exceptional, extraordinary circumstances here and the hardship that's created. You have two units in the building. One of them is really being underutilized and being used, admittedly, and I really do appreciate your honesty. I mean, in 5-6 years that I've been doing this, I rarely find the level of honesty that you've exhibited today, and that is to be commended. But it is a violation of the planning code, and I think it does demonstrate that it's hard to demonstrate that finding for hardship has been met when really there's that other unit that could be modified to meet the needs of your parents. Certainly the unit at the back, I think even in its three-story configuration, didn't have a lift. So in terms of the mobility issues, there would be substantial construction cost to build this building anyway. That could be perhaps used to rehabilitate the main building, the two-unit building, and to allow your family to grow into that space. So certainly if in the future you abate the violation and that is something that I would advise you to do immediately. Otherwise, we do have very steep enforcement penalties, hundreds and hundreds of dollars a day for violation of the short-term rental provisions, and this would be a clear case of violation. In order to qualify for short-term rental, there has to be a primary resident in the unit, And there are further limitations to that. And it sounds like in the case here, it's just a complete violation. So urge you to abate that before we get to the point of assessing penalties on that. So again, I'm kind of at this point inclined not to grant the requested variance, be denying this application. If you come back in the future, you know, there's a one-year prohibition on reapplying for the same project, unless if facts change. But if you can come back and better justify the hardship and the exceptional extraordinary circumstances and abate the outstanding violation, we could reconsider your request. But otherwise, I'd be denying this application. But appreciate your time for everyone. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2015-009255-VAR, 4366 25th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
My name is Ben Farrell. I'm the project architect. This is a house that was built as a single-family house in Noe Valley in what we can guess to be about 1912. It's typical for the pattern development in the neighborhood at that time, and that it's a very small house. It was built quickly, and it's unique. It's unique in that it barely fronts on the street. It sits about 32 feet back from the property line and probably about 12 feet down from the sidewalk level. So even standing at the street, which is top middle photograph here, you don't really have a good perspective of the house. Looking over the fence, you can look down at the house, and you can see here that it's just a pretty typical single-story cottage for Noe Valley. Effectively, the house right now is a one-bedroom house. It does show as two bedrooms, but the second bedroom would not meet building code standards for a bedroom. The family bought it as a couple 8 years ago. Yeah, about 8 years ago. Their needs as a family are growing, and with that comes the decision to either pick up and find a bigger house or make a better house. The character of the lot is a very secluded private lot, obviously, because it has to set back. We can see this is the current, I believe this is, no, this is a 1914 Sanborn map. This was probably the first Sanborn map that was done after the house was built. The way that the block exists now, the way the block exists now looks pretty much like that. There are a couple sheds that are still in the back, but this house sits well into the rear yard setback, and there's nothing that we're going to be able to do to change that. In approaching the project with my client, we looked at a number of ways to get more area in the house, more habitable area, with having as little impact to the scale and feel of the house as possible. And what we had decided on was to take the front portion of the house and lift it 30 inches to take advantage of the existing crawl space underneath the house. We can effectively double the size of the house with very little change to the exterior envelope of the house. However, because of where the house sits on the lot, any change to the exterior envelope will immediately trigger variance. So that's where we are with that. It's also a bit of a cost-saving measure for us. By lifting the house, we have to do less excavation. The house is down about 12 feet from the sidewalk, so just getting dirt in and out of the site is going to be problematic. I can go through findings real quick here if you want me to.
We have them in the file as well, so they've been documented.
They've been documented. Okay, great. Again, it's just really a matter of the original conditions of the house being persistent for the last 100 years. There was an addition to the rear of a house. I have the building permit for that in 1956 to add a single bedroom, closet, and bathroom. That's fairly well documented. There was no variance attached to that either. So this pattern of development for this one lot in this neighborhood has just sort of persisted for its entirety without a variance, and now it's up to us to secure one to do the portion of the project that we want to do. Do you want to say anything?
No. All right. Thank you.
one question. So we did get a letter with some concern. I think during the pre-app process, it had been noted that the building was going to be raised 18 inches, but the proposal now is to raise it 30 inches.
Correct. So our pre-app meeting was conducted at the house with the house proposed at 18 inches being raised. That was a recommendation from Marcel Boudreau, who I've been working with from a preservation standpoint. She said that 18 inches was the maximum for a checklistable project. In working with her after the pre-app meeting, the recommendation was to present the project that we wanted that would make it easier for us from a construction standpoint, and also quality of space that we get in the final project. And she would evaluate that. My planner, who was Andrew Perry, sits next to her, which I know, he ran over it with her, and they decided that it was still compliant from the preservation standpoint at 30 inches. So that's the project that we submitted.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. We'll move on to public comment, see if there's any public comment on this item for item number 6, 4366 25th Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it's an existing legal non-complying structure, predates even the planning code of all things. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Case number 7. Well, I mean item number 7. Case number 2013.1269V, 129 DeSoto Street, rear yard and side yard and rear yard variances sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Karina Narimba, and I'm the owner of the property. I believe this case was heard also last year, and that this was a rehearing. And from that last hearing in September of 2014, Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, mentioned that he's going to look into it a little bit more, research to whether to grant or, you know, basically no decision was made. So just to kind of jog everyone's memory, I'll put up some plans of the project. So here's the was the existing site plan, in which you can see that there is a concrete pad over here that was also confirmed by the previous owner that it was a garage at some point, and she said that she had her reasons to remove it, and I could give you guys some emails that I've received from her. So there was an existing condition there that was a garage previously that was been taken out sometime between 2000 and 2013. And what we're proposing is a completely detached garage, which is over here. That's why we are seeking the variance from the back and then on the side. In the project, it mentioned that the setback would be 4 feet from the back fence and then about 2 feet from the side fence. And this is for a two-car tandem garage structure. And I think it's about, it fits 2 cars, so I couldn't really remember what the length of it is, but it's about 10 foot in height. And since then, I had one neighbor, which is the one behind me, that expressed concern about practically like the height of the garage, as well as she feels like it might crowd her backyard because of the height, might not see a little bit more light, or she was kind of concerned. So I actually went over and talked to her and have kind of made an agreement or kind of resolved it, and she said, would you be willing to set back a little bit more, which is where we came up with the latest plans, which is 4 feet from the rear yard. I also spoke to Hurate and Kirk, which is the neighbor over on this side, who is, I feel, probably most affected by the project, and as of today, they have no concerns. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So that's
let me see. I guess it's my understanding from staff that there have been some outstanding enforcement issues with the property related to
maybe some facade alterations. I think
it's come down to some windows.
Yeah.
But I'm working with them on it and keeping in contact. And I think at this point, I am proactive.
Okay.
And are keeping in contact with Chashka, the enforcement, it comes down to some windows.
Window.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment.
Sure.
Any public comment on item number 7 for 129 DeSoto Street? Seeing no public comment, I would be inclined to grant the requested variance. When this was first heard last year, I did have some concerns about this. And further research by staff has found evidence of the pre-existing structure, as well as the pattern of similar detached garages on the block, as we'll see probably in the next case. So inclined to grant the requested variance. I'd also note that the 311 notification period did expire with no discretionary review requests filed, and basing the decision on the revised plans that you have to further set back from the rear property line to address your rear neighbor concerns. So we can move on to the next step.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2014.0670V, 161 DeSoto Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mrs. Sanchez. I thank you and the department to give us another opportunity. Just like the previous case, we were here about a year ago, and we are, the owner has been praying, hopefully, that we can get this passed through. To refresh your memory, we also have a one-car garage. Currently, we have a one-car garage, and that one-car garage is in very, very poor condition. If the wall is falling down and hardly can put any car in. So the owner, since has such a beautiful house, and after it was reconstructed about a few years back, so what they want to do, it to a double garage. And double garage, it seemed like that it is a little... way back at the corner. Like if you look at the garage, this is roughly about, if you take the midpoint of the peak roof, this is about 12 and a half feet, And since the fence is already, can go up as high as 10 feet, and we believe that this will have not any impact on any neighbors around us. And when the trees are grown, and then you probably cannot see it from the street. So we hope that this is the better luck for us and that we can get it approved this time. And thank you. I can entertain any question that you may have.
Thank you. So the garage, as you can see on the plans, is larger really than needed just to house the two cars. So I'm assuming that it'll be used for kind of storage of other.
No, I think it's just barely put enough. Yeah, you have two big vans.
They have two big vans.
Yeah,
okay.
Right now there's a park right outside the driveway.
Okay.
So they will put them in the expensive van too.
Okay.
Yeah, so thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 8 for 161 DeSoto Street. Seeing none, a public hearing is closed. I would be inclined to grant the requested variance for the reasons as stated in the previous case as well, the pattern of existing garages. I would add a condition that I think given the size of this garage and that it could be used to accommodate storage of kind of yard things of that nature if needed, that there be no other accessory structures in the rear yard. We typically allow a garden shed, like a 10 by 10 garden shed, and it seems like given the size of the structure, there would be no need for further structures in the rear yard, even if they would otherwise comply with the planning code. So I would add that restriction as well, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2015-008323VAR, 371 Coleridge Street, rear yard and off-street parking variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, everyone else here. My name is Gary Meyer. I'm the architect for improvements to 371 Coleridge, and I'm here with Jack Brown, the owner of the property. Let's see here. Okay. The owner's house has two sunrooms at the rear of the house that were built legally back in the 80s, I believe. However, they were built with exceptionally low ceiling heights, and they're uninsulated. The owner would like to take those two sunrooms that you can see in this photo and turn them into legal habitable space, improving the ceiling height and building insulated walls and windows up to current building codes. The reason for the variance is that the sunroom that you see on the right encroaches into the required rear yard setback as stipulated by the Bernal Heights overlay to the planning code. The base planning code would normally allow a structure such as this to encroach up to 12 feet into the rear yard, but it's because of the Bernal Heights overlay that a variance is required for this. Okay, so, and I just want to I want to be clear here that. I do want to be, point out here that in the area that we are seeking the variance for, there is no change to the building footprint. That it is purely a modification of the existing structure in its existing location, and we are seeking only to increase the ceiling height in that room to make it habitable living space. Let's see, I could go through the findings, but based on your comment on the previous project, I understand that you have them on record. So I'm going to jump right to some neighborhood responses. First of all, we have two letters in support of the project. We have a letter from the neighbor to the south at 379 Coleridge expressing her support of the project. And I do apologize that I have not been able to forward these to our planner prior to today. Some of this happened within the last 24 hours. And we also have a letter from a neighbor two houses to the north at 349 Coleridge, also in support of the project. We were approached by the neighbor, the immediately adjacent neighbor to the north, about the roof height addition, casting shadows and being a presence on his property. And I think we have worked out a compromise with that neighbor that is a revision to the plans that you have seen in front of you, and I'd like to go through that right now. Okay. So if you look at this drawing, this drawing is what was in the submitted drawings, and they show a slight increase in the roof line towards the rear of the building. We were planning on 9-foot ceiling heights throughout this area at the rear of the house, but the rearmost room we were going to bump up to a 10-foot ceiling height to provide a library slash home office for the owner, Mr. Brown. It's this pop-up and the rearmost portion of the building that our neighbor expressed some concern about. And working with him and based on his suggestion, we agreed to lower the roof height and accordingly the ceiling height in that room to present a consistent roof line across that entire facade. And we have the owner has emailed his that he's okay with this, and he has said that he was going to have a representative here today to speak in support of the project. If he is here, you'll hear that in the public comment. If not, I'm happy to read that email. Is Troy is here? Okay, fantastic. So with that, I will just turn it over. Unless you have any questions.
There was, I think, some question or concern about the
parking at some point. And so have you revised the project to include the bicycle parking as allowed under the planning code to substitute for the required off-street parking?
That is correct. We do have a plan to provide bicycle parking. And I have a drawing here illustrating the location of that. And I will happy to leave all of, I have a copy of all of these drawings that I can leave with you for the record.
That'd be great. Thank you.
So here's the inside the two-car garage, we've allowed a dedicated bicycle parking space, and we're happy to provide that to meet the parking requirement.
Thank you. So we'll move on to public comment with that, and again, we're on item number 9 for 371 Coleridge. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes.
Good morning again, Mr. Sanchez. I'm here representing John Davis, who's the owner of 355 Coleridge, which is the property immediately to the north of this property. The owner's architects have been willing to accommodate some of John's concerns about the height. He had concerns about shadows, but he's very satisfied with the change that has been made, and he wanted me to speak in support of granting the variance today.
Great. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item, item 9 for 371 Coleridge? Seeing none, we would close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it has just been reduced to the rear yard variance given the proposal to modify the parking and allow the bicycle parking, which removes the off-street parking variance. This is a large, much, much larger lot than we would typically see here, and especially in Bernal Heights. And I think one of the findings for me is that while it is a much larger lot, it does have substantial setbacks at the front and at the side, and does provide a substantial rear yard as well. We do have a standard condition that would typically require review of any other changes even within the buildable area, and we would maintain that and actually maybe tighten that and kind of require that any physical changes require review under a variance, but I'm going to consider that additional condition, and we'll have that in any final decision letter, but inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2015-002013 VAR, 5 Winfield Street, rear yard and mass reduction variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Ross Leedy. I am the architect. With me is Angie Mara, the owner of this property. We're requesting rear yard and mass reduction variances for this property in Bernal Heights, which is subject to Code Section 242. The primary necessity of this is that this house is on an upsloping lot fronted by a large retaining wall, which reduces the available height limit to essentially one story when you're up on the property itself. As a result of that, we have struggles with mass reduction and rear yard requirements. The property already has an existing structure that covers the lot all the way to the rear lot line. We don't propose to alter that. We do propose a small 10-foot square addition into the rear yard just to make the interior spaces more habitable and have these issues with the mass reduction, as I mentioned. Would you like to say anything, Andy?
No, we have a 3-year-old and a 6-week-old, and we just need some more bedrooms. That's about it.
Great, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 10 for 5 Winfield Street. Seeing no public comment, we'll close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the topography as well as the modest addition to add additional habitable space, including bedrooms. Move on to the next item, please.
Okay, item number 11, case number 2015-006047 VAR, 335 27th Street, rear yard variance sought.
Hi. Some letters of support from neighbors. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Tom McElroy, I'm the architect for this project. Just a quick review. The variance is for an expansion of a existing non-conforming garage at the rear, in the rear yard, setback of the lot. So on this lower plan, the garage is seen here, and the proposal is to expand the garage from here into the shaded area to accommodate the full width of the lot. So a quick review, the lot is located on the block that has an alley cutting through the center. It's typical for properties in the vicinity to be developed at both the front and rear of the lot. The resulting open space between the two buildings is required to be 25% of the lot per code. The intended use of the property is by a growing family to expand the usable living area while respecting the existing local patterns of a front setback, open space between front and rear buildings, building heights, and retaining its own potentially historic facade. The established pattern of properties in the immediate vicinity is to have a building at both the front and rear of the lot within the required rear setback. Subject lot is located on the north half of the block, where 11 of the 17 lots have a rear building, of which 6 are full width. We've had our neighborhood outreach meeting almost a year ago. Since then, we have worked closely with one neighbor, mostly, to the east at 331 27th Street. I believe he is here. So we worked with him from our initial proposal to mitigate concerns about impacts to sunlight on his property. We've since modified the proposals by reducing the height of the expansion by 5 feet vertically. So I don't have the original proposal with me, but the original proposal would have been to square off the building from here over, and since then we've dropped it down 5 feet vertically. This is the neighbor with which we've been working to modify the plans. So if you have any questions.
No, thank you, and we do have those revised plans, I believe, dated 2/19 to reduce the height of that portion of the building, and that
Correct.
Is the proposal that is moving forward. So
Correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, any public comment on this item, on item number 11 for 335 27th Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez, and for you for your time. I'm the neighbor to the east, and this proposed development is was going to throw light onto my garden, which is my healing space. And I've worked with the project sponsor and architect to lower it, and I think this is something I can live with, so I support this project.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, we would close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance based upon the revised plans as submitted dated 2/19 to address neighbors' concerns and noting the strong pattern. Thank you. And we can move on to the next item.
Okay, item number 12, case number 2016-000497 VAR, 3861 24th Street, rear yard variance sought. Your project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning, I'm Stacey Bradley, the deputy director of our planning unit at Rec and Park Department. This project has been many years in the making, and we are currently in the process of getting it rezoned, so we won't need a variance. It was approved at the Planning Commission and at the Land Use Committee on Monday. But the variance that we're requesting is to create open space in the rear yard, well, open space for the whole thing. Here's an image of the concept plan. It is modified slightly. The version that you've seen looks more like this, where we have the storage container in the back, which goes up to about 8 feet. And there's a stage canopy and a trellis. Both will provide shade for park users. So we are seeking this variance because the zoning was not did not anticipate open space use.
Thank you very much. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 12 for 3861 24th Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that there is a pending zoning change that would render the variance moot, but the project desires to move forward as quickly as possible to develop this much-needed usable open space for the community. So I'm supportive of that and do find that the variance findings have been met, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 13, case number 2015-000254-VAR, 68 Richardson Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Hello, my name is Lauren Leocona-Salem. I am the architect for Brian and Aaron Carter, the owners of 68 Richardson Avenue. The existing house is quite small, just one bedroom and one bathroom, and my clients would like to add on. They need another bedroom to accommodate their growing family and would like to have access to some outdoor space. As you can see from these existing photos, their existing deck is only about 3 feet wide and not really usable as an outdoor space. This is their deck. It's really more of like a stair landing. So talking about the findings a little bit, extraordinary circumstances. This is an irregularly shaped lot. Is rather small, just over 600 square feet. Adhering to the 15-foot rear yard setback would make it an unusable lot and create an unnecessary hardship for the property owners. The only way to add to this building, really, and to get in the outdoor space is by going straight up and adding a third story. This will, by necessity, mean going into the rear yard setback because it's existing non-conforming. The nearby buildings on Richardson are already three stories, and the project has been designed to maintain the aesthetic of the existing structure. Just on Monday, we received a copy of the Chestnut Street neighbor's letter and understand she has concerns about the proposed stair to the roof deck. My clients are happy to compromise by instead creating an enclosed interior stair that will not protrude into the existing setback. For reference, since we just got this letter and just came to this conclusion, I don't have full drawings, but I have some earlier sketches that we did that show an example of what this could look like.
Okay. Great.
Still needs to be worked out.
Will you be using a hatch to access the roof with that plan?
Well, in one version, and it sort of depends on how we move forward, in this version, it would be a door. In another version, it would be a hatch.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on cost, probably.
And the door would be a stair penthouse, so it would be...
It would be, yes, it would protrude a little bit. You know, it would be 9 feet above the roof, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. But we can look at the hatch instead. We're open to compromising on that. We've looked at both of those options in the past.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. No, I don't remember where my notes went. Sorry, my time's ticking down. Just going back to the neighbor's concerns about her access to light. We disagree that the proposed addition will negatively impact her access to light. Her property is non-conforming, comes all the way back to the property line, basically almost hangs over my client's property line. But as you can see from this sun position diagram I brought, really all the light is already being blocked by the existing adjacent three-story building, which is here. And my client's building, which is so small, won't really further impact her access to light. I don't believe that this addition, especially with our proposed compromise on the stair, will affect her privacy any more than the existing buildings already do. I'll also briefly note in response to her letter that this project has gone through historical review and was not found to be contributing. We hope that we can obtain approval for our variance with this compromise, with the understanding that we can work with staff to refine the design, perhaps without needing to come back here. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 13 for
yes.
68 Richardson.
Good morning.
You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I own the two properties at 254143 4749 Chestnut. This is four residences, and we are the most directly affected by anything at 68 Richardson. 68 Richardson lies directly behind, and I mean directly behind. You can reach out and touch between the two buildings. It has been, I've lived there for 40 years and owned both properties for 40 years, and it's never been an optimal situation. This is the way the properties were when I came here in 76. It's been manageable basically due to the fact that this has been a two-story structure. With the addition of a third floor and a roof deck, I disagree. I am going to lose light, air, and ventilation. I already have a problem with light, air, and ventilation. As the existing structure, you can see the light patterns even on the building. If they go up another level, the lower flats are going to be in jeopardy in the back. All six bedrooms with 12 windows are facing the back towards 68 Richardson, which should be the most quiet, the most private place. Now, I have double pane windows, solid core doors. I can hear them playing music inside their building as it is. So with the addition of a roof deck that has a hot tub proposed and seating, and I'm assuming for entertainment, this is going to really inhibit the quality of life for my tenants, for myself. I am delighted to hear they are looking at putting a staircase inside, because an exterior staircase would have made amazing amounts of noise as they go back and forth, plus it represented a security risk. As you can see from another photo, you know, it is so close between these two buildings. If somebody's out on a staircase, they can very easily step over onto my roof and the roof next door. The garden level, this is the garden at the rear of 2541, and I am very concerned about them going up in height, because it's already restricted light. It's already compromised, and my tenants will use the loose of their garden. The 2549 has a view of Pacific Heights, which will be obliterated. And basically, we will be looking at an exterior staircase or an interior staircase, but a third floor level with a roof deck. And so for all these concerns, I feel that I will suffer a loss of property value. My neighbor, Jonathan Wade, on the corner, has I have a letter to submit from him. He also is opposed to the construction.
Thank you. So a couple questions. So that photo that you have there, from that window, how far is that actually away from your rear property line?
Okay, so the
top story, I guess it is.
Wait a minute, which one? The window right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is actually from the bedroom window. So that part is receded. Yeah. But down below, as you can see down below, it is unbelievably tight in the back. I mean, just amazingly so, that you're looking into other people's, window, and has always been such.
Okay, and the windows, as I was just looking on the current plans, the windows that they are proposing, I don't see 12 that are facing your property, but the windows that there are there looks like there are one's from a closet, another one is maybe from a bathroom, another one is from a hall. So, I mean, in terms of...
Of my windows? Oh, no, sir.
No, windows on their property.
On their property. Yeah, oh, that so they're proposing. Okay. Yeah, my windows are bedroom windows.
Right. But in terms of the privacy issues, and I just was trying to
sure.
understand in terms of the...
It's the rooftop deck that concerns me with privacy. We already hear a lot of noise between the buildings, and that's what concerns me. Yeah.
So not so much the windows, but the deck.
Right. Their additional windows don't. It's the noise from the deck, right. And the fact that my windows, all six bedrooms, 12 windows, face that building really tight.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful.
And I have the letter from Jonathan Wade, and I don't know if obviously you received my letter. Do you need another copy of that, or? She's got it now.
Well, we love our papers. So, and you understand that, upon receiving your letter and hearing those concerns and reviewing it, we also shared those concerns about the stairs, and I think not so much because of the
security issue? I mean, in order for someone to get on those stairs and to jump onto your property, they would first have to break into this house and then...
Yes, and that's exactly what a second-story burglar does. Right. There have been issues with break-ins in that building prior, absolutely. Okay. It's easy to access from Richardson.
But I'm sure they'll want to do their best to secure that.
I'm sure they will.
Well. But so we had concerns about that and the encroachment towards the property line, and they're no longer pursuing that as part of their project. They're looking at two alternatives, which would have the staircase interior. So they're no longer proposing that staircase that's at the side of the building abutting the property line.
Well, and that's new to me for today. Yeah, no, that's something I had no idea for. But it does not dismiss my concerns about a roof deck nor Mr. Wade's.
Yeah, but you know, I want to see that they are working to try to address those concerns. And I know this is kind of coming... But last minute, I mean, it was news for me as well, but I think that's a good progress at least. So we'll see if there's any other public comment, and then the project sponsor will have a rebuttal. So
okay.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on item number 13 for 68 Richardson. Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
I'll just make a couple of quick points. One is that with regards to the view, as you know, the San Francisco Residential Design Guidelines don't protect a private property owner's view, unfortunately. I will point out that the neighbor says that all of her windows face this property, but that's not entirely true, just from one half of it does. I'll also point out that the photos that she was showing the shadows being cast on her building are from the third story building that's, 54 Richardson.
Okay.
And I don't think we're not going to be casting more shadows than that house is already casting, is what I'm trying to say. Do you guys have any other things that you want to say? I just want to say that, you know, we are very happy to work with the neighbor to come to a compromise.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. And Carmen, thank you for your letter. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can work something out amicably. And we certainly don't want to do anything that disturbs, you know, the odd lot that we're in. We do think we're, you know, within the rights of what we're trying to accomplish, but hopefully can do something that is convenient for all parties. And certainly the roof deck is not meant to be self-serving in a way to facilitate, crowd gatherings or party hosting. We're planning on having a child, and we'd like to have some outdoor space for that child. As for the noise, I would love to talk to you more about. I'm a drummer, and so a lot of the music is from. Is a drummer, and I would love to, we can take this offline, but talk about times and periods where that's an appropriate thing for me to practice and do without disturbing you. So, thanks again for your time, and I really hope we can work this out. Something we're really excited about and looking forward to.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you very much. So with that, close the public hearing. I mean, this lot is a substandard lot. It was created as part of the creation of the Bay Bridge in Richardson, and due to no fault of the current owner of the property is why it's in its current configuration. Think that the proposal is completely justified and does meet the required findings, especially with the changes that have been proposed to bring that stair interior. I'm very glad to hear that that was such a quick response on the part of the project sponsor to look at that change. I know it's losing some habitable space within an already small building, but I think that that is necessary to seeing justification for this variance by reducing the impact on the neighbor. In regards to the roof deck, this is a very compromised lot. I mean, the building is almost full lot coverage. It's on a state highway. I mean, it's a busy thoroughfare, and so having some usable open space directly accessible from the unit is quite desirable. And one of the requirements of the planning code is that you have usable open space, and so they are seeking to come further into conformance with the code by having adequate usable open space for their dwelling unit. So I would be supportive of that at this point, given that we don't have a full revised project. I would take the matter under advisement, and I'm very heartened by the project sponsor's quick response and willingness to work with the neighbor. Hopefully we can find some compromise here. Maybe there's some additional privacy screening or something for the roof deck. I do know at least how you've designed the roof deck so far, of having the stairs on the north side kind of abutting That does provide a buffer already from your property, but maybe there can be further discussions and better understanding of the project, especially the revised project. I do see that there's a path forward here, so generally inclined to grant the variance and await some further discussions between the parties and final plans that we can review and make a final determination on. So public hearing is closed. Matters are taken under advisement, and we'll await some further
moving to the last item of our calendar, item number 14, case number 2015-013587 VAR. 2757 Harrison Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here, you have 5 minutes, sir. Please approach the mic.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Brian Kaufman. I am the project architect for the subject project at 2757 Harrison Street. The subject property is a two-unit dwelling. It's an existing three-story building with garage parking at the ground floor and a first unit on the second floor of the building and the second unit on the third floor. The project sponsor is proposing to create an addition, which would create a fourth floor of the building, which would be the second story of the proposed project. It would be the proposed second story of the top unit in the building. So the variance is being sought for the second story addition. The addition to the second unit in the building would be located directly above the top floor, and the unit would essentially create a living space. It would create a living space with a sitting room and a master bedroom suite. At the top floor of the building. The addition will be set back approximately 16 feet from the front wall of the building, as is the guideline for the Secretary of the Interior Standards for a building which is a potential historic resource as designated under CEQA. And as such, approximately one-third of the footprint of the building will be used as an exterior deck, and the remaining two-thirds will be built out, which will be, again, a sitting room as well as a master bedroom suite on the other side of the addition. The project sponsor is requesting a variance because the code requires under Section 134 that the addition be set back an additional 10 feet from the required rear yard setback line, and that basically would create a hardship on behalf of the project sponsor because the requirement under the code for setting back the front of the property creates a hardship in basically making any useful type of addition on the top floor of the building. As such, the project sponsor is seeking the variance in order to construct the addition within that 10 feet space at the rear of the building, and yes, that is the purpose of the variance we are seeking today.
Thank you. So the current upper unit is one bedroom, and the proposal essentially adds the master bedroom suite at the new fourth story. Is that correct summation of the project?
That's correct.
And, it is quite a large master living area with the sitting room. And I, one of the questions I have is, what's the purpose of the spiral stair that is providing a second form of access down to the kitchen?
Under the code, we are basically remaining consistent with the existing building design, which has two forms of egress from both floors of the building. It basically is a safety measure that the project sponsor would like to keep consistent with the rest of the building design.
Is it a requirement under the building code?
It is not a requirement of the code. We could design the building with one form of access off of the top floor if we did desire.
I mean, it seems to kind of chew up valuable space within the unit, as well as can basically block the bay window that's being proposed. I mean, that's a design preference, I understand, but I was wondering if there's any greater argument about why it was wanting to be retained, or any other practical reasons for it, other than just building safety or desired building safety.
It's building safety as well as just a general access issue, and basically, we could eliminate that stair as part of the design, but it still is going to do almost nothing in terms of creating less space for the building footprint. And you could argue that creating this stair would save space and require less area to be built within that required rear yard setback. But even if we eliminated that stair, the sort of space savings would be very marginal.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on the last item, item number 14 for 2757 Harrison Street. Is there any general public comment? Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, Administrator. My name is Miguel Bustos. I'm actually the owner of the property. It's been in my family for about over 80 years. I'm the third generation of the Bustos clan to have owned it. We are a legacy family in the Mission, born and raised. It's the house I grew up in. Our family on that spot has really, we planted roots there. Again, we're a designated legacy family. I'm one of the founders of Calle 24. So the whole idea of keeping and preserving our culture and our community is very important to me. Hence, for us, that's why we went and did a lot of outreach. I do have the affidavit or the posting of the sign, which is still right there. It's on there right now, as well as signatures from my neighbors. I made sure to get my immediate neighbors, people who would see this or be affected by it. All of them were very, very supportive. Many have known me since before I was born. One particular neighbor right behind me went to school, elementary school, my mom. And so they're very pleased that, one, that I'm fixing up the house and that I'm planning to stay there to age in place. My dad passed away in that house, and I'm planning to do the same thing because we're very rooted there. So I ask that you support this request for variance. Again, my immediate neighbors, everyone has been very supportive of me in this effort, and we plan to continue to live there and to make it's home, it's community, it's home. So I would appreciate your support.
Thank you. Is it just a question? I mean, in terms of that stair again, I mean, what was your kind of desire? And
so I was under the impression that we needed to have a second exit from that part. If we don't need it, cool. I'm cool with it. I'm not wedded to it.
Okay.
At all. And, we could definitely take it out. But we just thought we were just trying to be in compliance with what we thought was the necessity to have a second exit down from there. But I'm not wedded to it at all. I could take it out. That's no problem.
Just kind of curious about it because it seemed to kind of take away from the unit itself and having to, rather than looking out the window to the rear yard.
I'm with you. But again, we were just trying to, okay. There was an assumption that we needed a second stairwell. So if we don't need it, I'd be happy to take it off because you're right. It it's sort of there, but we were just trying to be in compliance.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Is there any other public comment on this item, 2757 Harrison?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Rose, and I live down the street from McGill. I've been there about 20 years, and I've seen the design, and I don't feel that it will negatively impact the neighborhood at all. And then I would like to speak to the character of McGill. He's been a really helpful neighbor. He's really lovely with my landlord, who's 72 years old. He gets her groceries and helps her a lot. And he's just a great neighbor. And it's a beautiful design. And I ask you to grant the variance.
Thank you.
You get 3 minutes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Arguello. I am a 53-year resident of the Mission District and a neighbor. I'm also president of Calle 24 Latino Cultural District. And I'm here to support the variance. The Bustos family has, been in the neighborhood for quite a few decades. They have been very involved with the community. Mr. Bustos has opened his doors to a lot of the groups in the area to meet. We see this as a community resource. We want him to be comfortable in his home. We expect him to be there till he retires, and we hope that he is comfortable there and never leave. But also, he's a very responsible individual. He knows all his neighbors. He meets with them, pretty often, socially, and, when they're working around community issues. So, we're here. We've seen the plans. It looks like it won't affect anybody negatively. We haven't heard anything from anyone else in the neighborhood that is against it. So we're just here to support the variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I think probably seeing none, I would close public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting there's already a significant front setback for the building itself of almost 11 feet. Then there's the further setback of about 16 feet for preservation concerns. So about a quarter of the buildable area is already taken away when we have this new fourth story that's proposed. It's building on the existing building footprint. One of the reasons for this provision is to try to reduce impacts on light and air to rear yards, of having something that steps down to the rear yard. Given the orientation of the project and the construction on the adjacent lots, I don't see that the addition itself would have any adverse impacts on the shadow. In terms of the stairs, I'll leave that to the project sponsor to decide how they want to proceed and make no opinion on that, but would be inclined to grant the variance as is. Thank you. And that is the final item. So unless if there's any general public comment, we would close this public hearing and reconvene on March
23rd.
Thank you. So closing the public hearing. Thank you.